That's what I noticed the first thing. Everyone's like, how's your life? You're like, I'm shit and firm.
Oh, my move is I only eat once a day, but after every meal, I do a 30-minute walk, and it makes me shit amazing. If I don't walk after I shit, it's a problem.
You're like when I fucking pat my dog's stomach to make sure she goes before the walk. We're like, get it in there.
It packs it down.
Yeah. Yeah, no one talks about that. Everyone's like, oh, you sleep, your skin, but you're like, you poop. I was shitting mulch for all the years I was drinking.
Right. Well, the problem was I was addicted to Percocets.
Oh, dude, you can't. That's opiates.
You can't shit. It's a problem. Yeah, shitting was a whole...
Are we recording?
Yeah.
Hello. We don't do like...
I don't give a shit.
I don't like... Proper intros ruin a hang. You know what I mean?
Of course,
you're like, and now we're here, and you're like, we're kicking it at Pimp's apartment.
They pull it off on Are You Garbage, you know? Yeah. They really ham it up.
Yeah,
there.
They do like the whole thing, and like, and we're here with a guy. Right.
And I'm like, I did that? Like, he was in Daredevil with Ben Affleck.
Which
like,
was one of my most biggest, by the way, that movie, I filmed a really shitty rom-com, like indie rom-com, and this was back when I was when weed vaping first came out.
Of course.
Like right when it came out.
Yeah.
And I had the wax.
Yes.
And I got too high.
Uh-huh.
And I was like watching that movie, and I was like we were on location, so I was staying at a hotel, and I was like, do you think they knew it was going to suck when they were making it?
Right.
But now I got intrigued by this YouTube video about the Daredevil movie. That movie was supposed to be the shit. Like the Daredevil movie?
And what happened?
The studio fucked it. They cut their film in half. They only gave them a budget to film half the time. Like the director and Ben Affleck, like dude, they had this whole idea, and then the studio was like, nah, we don't think it's gonna work. So this is a YouTube doc that I watched, so I don't know how, were a part of the fucking thing.
Yeah, oh dude, I was fucking, I don't even know how old I was. I was just getting high every day then, and they're like, you want to do this thing for 2 days and make money and be in this movie?
Yeah.
I was like, I guess. Like,
yeah. Are your memories from when you got fucked up, like all hazy, or do sometimes they come back to you?
It all depends. Like there's times where I'm like, oh, it's more so like when people bring it up, but then there's also the ones that are like, the key stories where I'm like, do I remember that from the it happening, or have we told the story so many times that now I just remember some form of this thing?
Yeah, you've like created the memory,
right?
Well, dude, that one you on your podcast, you guys were talking about being at a premiere, and you were like, I was out of my fucking tits showing up, and all those cameras.
Right. And that, you know what's so funny is like I remember on that thing, there were people who, because I was saying like, I was doing coke in like the limousine on the way there, and didn't realize because we were coming from another party.
Yeah.
I didn't realize there would be a red carpet. And when you get out on the red carpet, it's like, and you're just like, your jaw's fucking.
And your fucking eyes are like this.
Well, that's the thing is somebody in the comments is like, yeah, right. Nice try. Like your eyes are small. You're not big. And I'm like, because you come out to 300 cameras.
Yeah,
like,
dude, dog, you know your eyes are also going to correct.
Right. And it's like when you have 300 flashes in your face. But dude, there's just so, I mean.
Dude, the heart rate must have been through the fucking roof.
Yeah, that was always the worst when you would come out to a play. Like, I even remember, like, smoking weed. And my friend was like, yo, I got tickets to, like, Jackass is showing at this theater. Do you want to go? And, like, I was like, I want to be as high as possible.
Yeah, because Jackass.
Right, so you get, like, as stoned as possible. And then you show up, and there was, like, a red carpet. Oh. And I was like, what? I didn't. And I'm in, like, a fucking shitty hoodie, and I'm stoned out of my mind, and I'm like, oh, and they're asking me questions, and I'm like, I was ready to be like, I'm gone.
You're like, I want to watch Ryan Dunn shove a car up his ass.
Yeah.
I don't want you guys to fucking film how high I am.
Yeah,
right now.
And then they want to ask me like, so on season 4, episode 3, and I'm like, dude, I don't know what the please, like.
That is something that no one ever talks about, where they're like, the worst part of fame isn't probably like the access you get. It's the people bothering you when you're like, I just want to do this one simple thing of getting high and going and seeing Jackass.
Right. And I also think that there's like a, if you're really like great at what you do, like if you're Elon Musk and somebody wants to stop you to talk to you and you blow them off, it's like, I'm Elon Musk. Like where for me, I was like a 12-year-old kid who got lucky to be on a show that like these people who worked their whole lives.
Oh my
had
God.
Gotten on. So I'm like, no, I need to stop and talk to every because it was before everybody had a camera. So people actually wanted to talk to you,
but
not
that's
just
also,
take a picture.
That also kind of shows your personality. That shows that you're a good dude and you kind of have the self-awareness of like, I understand the position I'm in.
Yeah.
Let
yeah.
me talk to these people. Because they're also like, you know, when you have any success, I don't know about psychopaths or sociopaths, but most of the time when you have any success, you feel a little guilty.
Oh, for sure.
Because you're like, why am I getting this?
Yeah.
But 100%. You're on a show as a this is what I wanted to ask. This is what I was like thinking about. I was like, when he was like, we're going to get Rob on the podcast. I was like, dude, I have a question that I've wanted to know forever because I'm a diehard pro wrestling fan.
Yeah.
That kind of fever, that kind of like devotion, I would say in TV shows, Breaking Bad, The Wire, and The Sopranos are the three that have that kind of like, you have dudes that do the, it's still real to me, damn it.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Where
they're like, I fucking love it. Like that kind of thing where you're like, yo, chill, bud.
Yeah, and they asked me questions about the show as if it went on when it wasn't going on. Like, yeah. They're like, yo, does Tony hit you? And I'm like, well, whatever you saw on the show. Like, you know, they want to know, like, did things happen? Or, like, one scene where, like, I get into a fight with some kid and then he has to pay me, like, $40 for, like, ripping my shirt or something. And, like, somebody came up to me and was like, dude, like, that shirt was $40 and your mom wanted you to buy the shirt. He's like, you didn't buy the shirt, right? He's like, you bought, like, video games or something. And I was like, whatever they wrote.
It stopped like, when they yelled cut.
Yeah, I'm like, I didn't. I'm not. And also, like, maybe there's some actors who are like, no, my character did buy the shirt.
Yeah,
like,
but that's too much.
Yeah, of course. I'm like, dude, I don't even. I was just excited to get the $40.
You're like, in the realm of things. Yeah, when people get too into a show, you go, it's not real.
Yeah, right.
It's not real. Like,
it's still real to me. Yeah,
I love that guy.
Oh my god, best is all time.
If you haven't seen that, go YouTube. It's still real to me. But my favorite is
Cousin Dick Murdoch.
Yeah. My favorite. He goes, okay, buddy. Yeah, and the wrestler goes, like, he goes, you sacrificed your bodies, and I just want to say, and that exists so much now with different things, and people don't realize it's still reeling to me, damn it.
Dude, I've seen people's heartbreak when they found out I wasn't Italian. Like,
that's
I've seen people who are like full jerseyed out, and they're like, bro, me and my family would get together, we'd make gabagool, we'd all sit around the TV and watch you guys there, and then like somebody else would be like, yeah, well, you know, he was the only one who was not Italian on the show, and they're like, what? Like, you know, and you're like, oh yeah, I'm Irish, and they're like, okay, and they're like, they're just done. Yeah.
All right. Right. Dude, I love that.
Because they were tricked.
God,
you know?
Damn,
they're just
you just made my day. That there were so many guys where they go, nah, where's your family from? They're not from Sicily, but Florence?
Right. How far down the boot are you? I'm like, oh no, we had like potatoes and
potatoes. That's so funny. Yeah, my grandfather came over from Dublin and they're like, yeah. Excuse me.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Yeah, that's like when finance bros found out that I hate Wall Street.
Yeah.
And they're
like,
but you worked at Axe Capital. You go, I never worked anywhere.
Yeah, right.
I worked in Jersey on a set.
Yeah. There's dudes who, when I don't know stuff about Jersey, they're so confused. And I'm like, I grew up in New York City.
But the seven families.
Right.
And you're I learned what I needed to learn.
Right. And they're like, yeah, well, my mom's from North Caldwell. And I'm like, oh, like, okay. It's supposed to mean something to me. You know?
I went to a party when I was dating this girl. We went to a party kind of in this area. And it was like a work friend that she had. And she couldn't wait to tell me that her boyfriend works for Steve Cohen and that the Billions is nothing like real life.
Yeah,
and
I'm
high, eating like cheese, and I'm like, yeah, probably not.
Right.
But she was like, no, it's nothing like that. And you're like, cool.
Right.
I don't care.
Yeah, are you going to finish that? Yeah.
Do you have more Pepper Jack? Because this shit slaps. Yeah. I mean, there's this idea. And again, as a pro wrestling fan, I completely I get it. Like, I love wrestling, but I'm not. You have to still be human. You have to still be like, these are people that are pretending to be other people.
Yeah.
You're on the show where I think the disappointment has to be the highest when they find out that, like, you and Jamie don't know you don't know Carmella's recipes.
Right, yeah. And I think they have the opposite end of the scale where they actually get so amped up when they found out, like, yeah, Tony Sirico did time in jail. And, like, they find out that these guys were, like, really. So they have the balance where it's not like everybody's a young Irish kid.
Yeah. But you're in this specific position of you were a kid growing up on the show with this, like, which did it change from the jump? Like, the second you got the show, was your life completely different? Or did you see it progress like as the seasons went on, you went like, well, now I'm losing this part of my personal life?
Well, I mean, there's, you know, there's so many answers to that, but really, like, I think the fact that, you know, I was 12, 13, 14, 15, so obviously, like, all the way up, and no one my age had HBO. Nobody watched HBO. So, like, there were kids, like, me and Jamie would go out to LA to go to, like, award shows for, like, kids, and you could see the difference because those kids were on Nickelodeon shows and shows on Fox or whatever where, like, other kids watched.
Yeah.
And these kids, it was like they were like Jesus. Like, you just walked in a room and you could feel that. We're like, I'm outside. I'm, like, 13 smoking.
Yes!
Like, you know,
dude,
yeah. And I'm like,
started smoking when I was 12.
Yeah,
kids
me too.
Ripping
I was
12. Butts.
Yeah.
Dude, kids ripping butts rules.
Yeah.
Because you're like, I know I'm you're doing the most adult thing.
Yeah, I started smoking, drinking, and smoking weed when I was 12.
Before the show or...
It was right around like that same kind of time, but the show, because we filmed the pilot when I was 12, and then it took some time to get like picked up and film the first season. So like it wasn't, you know, my dad's a drink, my grandfather. I was going there.
Yeah.
Did
anyone from the cast, did you smoke on set when you were that young?
Oh, well, no, there was an age where it started happening. I don't know what it is, but like, you know, you go out to like the Emmy Awards and you're in LA and then you start drinking and you're like, I'm just going to fucking smoke.
Yeah.
Like, you're 15 and you're like, oh, I'm just gonna, and then you get like the looks and the whatever. And then like, you know, 6 months later, it's like you're standing on set, sitting outside smoking cigarettes.
So they got comfortable with it. Was there, was there ever a moment where one of the cast members was like, hey, what are you doing smoking?
No, they were all pretty, like, you know, they didn't, like, encourage me, but they weren't like, hey, you shouldn't be doing that or whatever. They were kind of like, they got it.
You go through that. When you're a young smoker,
you see
people go like, all right. My friend's family was, like, having this, like, vacation to Mexico, and we were, like, 15. And they were like, do you want to go to Mexico with all of us? And I was like, abso-fucking-lutely.
Yeah.
I was smoking. I was drinking. So I was like, I know. Yeah. I'll be able to go do all this down in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And we landed at the airport. I got caught with cigarettes at DIA going through security. But my friend's mom was like, rolled her eyes. But then I was like, when we were in Mexico, I just was like, oh, I'm smoking.
Yeah.
And it was funny to watch them
hanging
be like,
out.
Because they're not my parent.
Right.
They can't say shit.
Yeah.
And then you have that moment where you go, where you like... And you're like looking at him and you light one in the corner of your mouth and go, what were you saying?
I can't
tell this kid shit.
You take it out of the you even taking the pack out as it comes big. You're like, I'm going to take it out now. Yeah. Like your arm is exaggerated. You're like,
but then when you start getting casual and you're like talking, you go, I'm right there before you're like packing the pack.
You
like,
take the cigarette out of the pack. You're just like, oh, you have the free hand.
There's nothing funnier than like a 15-year-old acting like a 40-year-old war vet.
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
Like, oh yeah, it's rocking nuts.
You got the soft pack where you just, it just jumps up and you can't.
Do the flick on the bottom and you go, shit, I've never been there. Dude, smoking young is so funny to watch people react to it.
Yeah.
Because, like, you're on set. Those aren't your parents. They're your coworkers.
And the weird thing is like, I, you know, there became a certain age, or maybe it was, like, 16, where, like, I was doing so much better than anyone else in my family that it was like, I'm going to smoke.
Yeah,
like,
dude,
you know? I was like, I'm going to light this up because what are you going to do? Like,
if there is a point in everyone's life, and it could happen to you when you're younger, when you're older, but when you start becoming the breadwinner, there's this moment where you go, I'm going to do this. Like, my mom's fine with me smoking weed. She's fine.
Yeah.
But when the money started coming in, I was a little more like, I'm going to go smoke before dinner. And she's like, sure, all right.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. You know,
like, I remember, so I would smoke weed in my room, and I would go under, I would have like this pipe that you could cover with the lighter.
Yeah.
And then I would put the blanket over me and I would blow it into a pillow. And one day after like doing this for years, I come home and right when I open the front door, the pillow is right there when you open the door and there's just a fucking black circle on it like
that's
this that like
so
you could tap on. It's like hard and I'm like, oh no. And in my head I'm panicked. I'm like, I never thought about this moment.
Yeah.
Like, why? I don't know. I
found
like,
the pillow.
Right. So my, you know, I had people in my family with drug problems, so they would steal from me. So I got to have a lock on my front door when I was like, even before Sopranos, because I was like, yo, my Nintendo games are good. Like, my Christmas gifts are gone.
No.
And my mom was like, all right, you can get a lock on your door. So I had a lock on my door from like a super young age.
Comedy fans know that life can get a little wild, and so can your schedule. Marley Spoon gets it. Some days you want to cook from scratch, and other days you just need something quick that still tastes great. Marley Spoon has over 100 recipes to choose from every week. From comforting classics to fresh, balanced dishes. There are even snacks and drinks for those in-between moments, perfect for when you need a break from laughing at your favorite stand-up. Everything is chef-designed and made with quality ingredients, so you can feel good about what you eat. Marley Spoon fits your life, no matter how busy or unpredictable it gets. Go to marleyspoon.com/offer/pod45 for 45% off your first order and free delivery. That's right, 45% off your first order and free delivery. That's marleyspoon.com/offer/POD45.
Do you remember what game got taken from you first? Like, do you remember that, like...
No, I just remember, you know, because, like, he wouldn't even, the uncle I'm thinking of, wouldn't even, like, take them all. He would take, like, four games thinking, like, I wouldn't know or something. And I remember one time he took, like... He took a ring and a pair of like shoes that he got me, but they weren't my size. He definitely like stole shoes from somebody else and like drunk or high tried to like give them to me and then like took them back to, so I don't know.
Yeah, that's such a drug addict move to go, I got you these size 15s. And you're like, I'm 5'7". Yeah.
I remember I think the game was called like Carnage and it was red for Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
And I remember that one really stood out because you had all like the tan.
Yeah, it's all gray.
Right. But this one was red. And I remember like the red one was gone and I was like, fuck. So then like I convinced my mom to let me have a lock on the door. So I never planned for the weed pillow to be found. I was just like, yeah, she's not going to get in there. One day she just decided to like go in the room. And so I walk in, I see the pillow sitting there and the heat.
Yeah.
In my body and the instant sweat that, and she comes plowing through the kitchen. She's like, what's wrong with you? She's like, you're lighting pillows on fire. I was like, yeah. And I was like, thank God she said that because I had nothing. Like,
oh, yeah, there it is.
Yeah, and I was like, I light pillows on fire. Like,
I like the way fire dances.
Yeah, I'm
a pyromaniac.
But I'm going to change, Ma. Yeah. Like,
I'm not going to stop burning things.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Like, you'd rather be a pyromaniac.
Oh, I was so relieved.
Don't
dude.
Bring any WD-40 around me. I'm going to go out and light shit on fire.
I was so relieved.
Yeah, man, that kind of like finding an excuse real quick.
Yeah.
Like when my mom would be like, whose lighter is this? And you're like, Jason.
Yeah.
Because I was smoking smoking young, I would come home smelling like cigarettes. And my mom would be like, where were you? And I had one friend whose parents smoked inside. So you'd just be like, Jason Poyle's house. He's like, I was at Jason Poyle's house. And it worked 20 times where she was like, okay. And then one time she's like, let me smell your breath. And that's when you're like, fuck. I made out with Jason Poyle's mom. Like, oh, she don't kiss me. And I couldn't
they
do
made
anything.
Us kiss each other.
They made us kiss. Me and Jason were making out. I don't know. Sick shit going on over there.
I remember the worst one was I was on a cruise with my family. This is like later. I was like 16 or whatever. And the first night of the cruise, I meet these people, like these really like cool kids, and they were older, and like I had weed on me and they had a lot of liquor. So I was like,
party.
Hey, yeah, because we weren't old enough to like buy, it wasn't like 21, you had a bracelet, so it was like this whole thing. I go to their room, they had the big Poland Spring bottles and the big peach Schnapple bottles full of like clear alcohol and dark alcohol. So on the bottom you look, it would be like 99 bananas and like, so like, I'm like, let's get fucking wasted. I start lighting up joints, I had like a full pack.
Yeah.
We're smoking, drinking. I remember like going out. The last thing I remember is I was on stage singing Brown Eyed Girl. It's some like random stage on the ship and I'm wasted. And I wake up in the bed and I was supposed to be staying in the room with my brother. I look over at his bed. He's gone. He's not there. And I don't know. He's like 7 at the time. And I'm like, what the fuck? So the last thing I remember is like a black circle. And I move the blanket from the other bed. And there's just fuck. Because I drank 2 peach Schnapple bottles full of Jack Daniels.
Jesus.
And I threw it all up on the bed. And it was just black. And the smell was so bad. Everything was so disgusting. And now I start panicking because it's on the carpet. I'm like, what do I do? So I'm taking the sheets off and I'm stuffing where the life jackets are. And my dad comes into the room and he looks at me. He goes, what, did you shit yourself? And I went, yup.
Dude.
Again, I was like, improv. Yo. I was like, improv. These guys are saving me.
Yeah, you
and
go.
I just told, well,
how are you guys? You guys are the worst cops in the world.
Yeah. And for years, my dad would be like, yeah, when you shit yourself on the cruise. And I was like, yeah. And then one day when I was like, whatever, 19, 20, when he realized I was like, dude, that was fucking throw up from Jack Daniels. Yeah. You know, I was like, hell yeah, brother.
Ah, fuck yeah. I'm basically Guns N' Roses.
Yeah.
Dude, it's so funny to think about, like, that if a cop did that and they walked up and they go, was this an accident? And the guy goes, it was an accident.
Yeah.
I didn't murder my wife. There was an accident.
Yeah, what happened? Did a butterfly fly in the window and come in your face? Yep.
Yep, that's it, dude. Yeah. I totally didn't do anything illegal.
I wasn't looking at my phone, that's for sure, officer.
When you get sober and you stop drinking and all that stuff, you know, I mean, there's like, you know, we're reminiscing on it now, but then you kind of get sober and you start to be like, damn, I kind of blew some opportunities to have more fun. Is there parts that you, like, when you're going through all those experiences, that you wish you would have been sober to, like, kind of take in more or maybe, like, process better?
Like, not so much that. It's a lot more like there were a lot of girls that I could have gotten with if I didn't. Like, there would be times where we would be with groups of, like, it would be like me and two of my friends who were like whatever, and like a promoter in a New York nightclub, and there'd be like 15 girls at the table, gorgeous, we're dancing, everything, and someone would be like, yo, we got 2 8-balls of coke if you want to go back to the apartment, and it was like bing, like just gone, garbage bags over the windows, and like 72 hours of just being like, yo man, I wish you could have met my grandma.
Yeah,
like,
you don't understand.
And you're like, what?
You started, you go, I'm Irish. And they go, what? You go, I'm Irish, I gotta tell you that. And they go, I don't give a fuck.
As I'm beat red, they're like, yeah, we could tell.
But that's what's, you know, it's, I actually talked to Bert Kreischer about this when we were on the Fully Loaded tour. It's like, knowing that you're a substance guy helps people around you to be like, don't worry, I'm not chasing pussy. Or like, don't worry, I'm not chasing money. You're right. Like, substances, those are my problem. And when you understand that, it helps everything out. Because I have friends who are like, I don't drink. Or they're like, I don't want to smoke weed. And then they're like, you know, he ruined his marriage because he was fucking every woman that lived on in his apartment building. And you're like, no way do I want that.
There's
no way. Sex addiction, food addiction, I'm so glad I was substances.
Yeah, but when I hear you, the way you talk about sweets,
how great is sweets?
I'm so bad that, like, you know, like this trip, I really started to realize, you know, when like a guy who's even had sex like 3 times sees a super hot chick and he's like, dude, I would fuck this shit up. Yeah, and it's like, dude, you ain't doing shit.
Yeah,
like,
you ain't doing nothing.
That's how I am now. When I see like a Mr. Softy truck, I'm like, bro, I'm like, do you, because I haven't had sugar in like 3 years. Yeah, so I do.
So you had to shut that down.
Bad. But what I do is like alternative. So I'll eat these. I'll find these places that make like Giselle's Bakery and you know, Montecito, where they make these things with like dates and maple syrup.
So
I get that sent to me and do, because I'm bad with the sugar.
And you can't even do a little bit.
No way. I haven't. It's been 3 years. But like when I see that Mr. Softy truck for. I'm thinking about it still for weeks, and like I see people eating Mr. Softy outside. I'm like, you don't even know what you're doing, dude. Like, you got a fucking plant. You didn't get sprinkles on that fucking vanilla cone, you douche.
Katie knows, so she'll know. So we're in Chicago visiting her brother.
Yeah,
and she knows that, like, that's my shit now. And she was like, "You want to go to Dairy Queen?" And I was like, more than anything.
Yeah.
And we're going to eat it there. Like, I need it because I might have to run it back. Yeah. But, like, that is the thing where she'll be like, she knows that's, like, the thing where I'll be like, Van Leeuwen, can we? Because now we found out at our apartment you can deliver Van Leeuwen.
Yep.
And I'm like, dude, this is a fucking problem. And now I'm like, I'm almost at the point where I need to cut it off.
Dude, I had to wake up. So I woke up at 7 today to go do Jim and Sam.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I love to walk around the city. And I'm like, I'm going to walk. I went to do the bonfire like a few weeks ago, whatever, and I was in shorts, and I was like, never again. I was like, I'll never go to a podcast in shorts, because you just feel like such a dude. Like, if I was sitting here in shorts right now, the whole time I'd be like, I'm in shorts.
My fucking knees are out.
Right, like, you'd be telling something funny, and I'd be like, yeah, but I'm in shorts. So, like,
he's probably looking at my fucking bottom thigh.
And then anytime I thought about the first time I met you, I'd be like, yeah, I was wearing fucking shorts. Like, you know, it's just like a whole. So I'm like, I'm wearing sweatpants at Jim and Sam, and I'm wearing sweatpants here and there. So then I'm on, dude, Jim and Sam on 46th Street, and I walked all the way back downtown. Dude, halfway through, I was like, God, I think I got to cancel the pot. I'm like, I'm going to faint. And then I had some fucking desserts at the apartment I'm staying in. I had those fucking 2 desserts. I was like, I'm ready to pot.
Dude, it's
like,
great.
I love it. Good. Like,
I'll do like 2 shows. My thing right now is I just did Indianapolis, and you land at the Indianapolis airport, and there's one of those candy stores. And I was with Maddie Wiener. She was opening for me, and I landed, and I went, hey, I know we don't know each other real well, you're about to see your gross side of me. I gotta go to this candy store. And I was like, oh, they got freeze-dried Skittles. And I like grab it. And she's like, Jesus Christ. Because you're like, watch basically like the real version of Tom Hanks is Big. I have a child inside of me that's 100%. Like, I can buy those.
Yeah.
I have the money to buy
the wax Coca-Cola bottles with the juice inside. Dude. And you're just slamming
them. Just, there's just a mountain of them in my hotel room with the blinds. Yeah,
it's
drawn.
Hot. It's starting to melt into the carpet. You're paying $1,000 fees.
I'm listening to The Doors. And she's like, Dan, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm having Gear Deli squares and they're melting into the fucking sheets. Yeah, it is like sugar. People don't realize that you quit alcohol and you're like, oh, I had so much sugar going inside of me.
Yeah, and the cigarettes, because it was like after a meal, after anything, it was like cigarettes. So then I was like, never. Dude, how bad I got into chocolate covered pretzels and chocolate covered graham crackers after that.
They don't sell them at Starbucks anymore.
Oh, I never knew. They have them at like Whole Foods. They have them at a few places. Yes. I remember I walked like 4 miles in New York City looking for them one day. And I ended up at Dylan's Candy Shop.
Great. RIP most of the locations.
And it was closed for like a private party. I swear to you, the woman who like owned it was there and saw like the publicist for it, whatever, saw my reaction through the window and came out and was like, come inside. And gave me a bag because it was like a party where everything was free in there. So she gave me a bag and she was like, here, whatever you want, because she saw me like get to the window and I was like, there's a security guard and he was like, we're closed for the pri-, and I was like, and just the drop.
You were a bum in the rain.
Yeah.
She was like, hey, come out. There's a storm outside.
Right, and I paused for like 15 seconds and then like dropped my shoulders, my head, and just like was walking away. And she was like, sir, like, wait a second. And I turned around and she was like, come in.
You're eating it with your hand.
Oh my God. It was like it could happen to you with the soup.
I just fucking need this.
Yeah, I'm like, thank you.
Do you ever see yourself, does that door stay shut? Like, I know with alcohol, that door stays shut.
Oh,
the rest of my life. With sugar, does that door stay shut?
Yeah, sugar, it stays shut.
Cigarettes, I think there's a chance it could come back in my life.
See, when it's cold out, yes. When it's hot out, no. When it's totally 90 degrees, I'm like, if you're smoking, you're a disgusting
pig.
Addicted. When it's 10 degrees out and someone's 5 minutes late, I'm like, bro.
Or it's rainy.
Oh, and you're under an awning. I'm like, bro, fuck. I could a whole pack of Camel Lights right now.
Camel Lights, which are now called Camel Blues. I'm so old now that people go like, oh, you mean like Camel Blues? You go, they're Camel Lights. All right. They fucking switched it because it's not light.
I went through I was smoking Marlboro Reds for so long. And I started a fucking band with my friends and I was singing, and I would, if I smoked a Marlboro Red, I would throw up.
Really?
Because we were singing like death metal.
Oh, so
and then I would smoke a Marlboro Light and throw up into a garbage can, and you could hear it on our like recordings when we were like 15 recording in the studio. Yeah. You hear me like singing and then like don't like take a break to light a cigarette, then you just hear me throwing up into the garbage can. You hear it hitting the bag.
Oh, that wet heaviness.
And then I get back on the mic.
Hey everybody, I'm on the road. August 22nd through the 24th, I'm going to be in Buffalo at the Helium Comedy Club. I love Buffalo Helium. I've gone there for years. Let's pack it out. And then Comedy Zone, Charlotte, North Carolina. That is the 29th of August through the 31st. Those are going to be some fun shows. So come check me out in Charlotte at the Comedy Zone. Buffalo, Charlotte, San Jose, what a run. DanSoder.com for tickets.
Comedy fans know that life can get a little wild, and so can your schedule. Marley Spoon gets it. Some days you want to cook from scratch, and other days you just need something quick that still tastes great. Marley Spoon has over 100 recipes to choose from every week, from comforting classics to fresh, balanced dishes. There are even snacks and drinks for those in-between moments, perfect for when you need a break from laughing at your favorite stand-up. Everything is chef-designed and made with quality ingredients, so you can feel good about what you eat. Marley Spoon fits your life, no matter how busy or unpredictable it gets. Go to marleyspoon.com/offer/pod45 for 45% off your first order and free delivery. That's right, 45% off your first order and free delivery. That's marleyspoon.com/offer/POD45.
What was your journey of cigarettes? Like, what did you start with and where did you end?
So I remember because I have asthma and I had a lot of asthma attacks when I was a kid. I was in the hospital. My mom always said, like, if you smoke a cigarette, you'll die.
Sure.
And then at 12, I remember being like, I'm ready to die. Like, I was like, I'm going to take this step.
Fucking, let's go.
My friend had Marlboro Reds and I fucking lit up a Marlboro Red. took a pull and I almost fell backwards through a bookcase. I remember being like, whoa, we're in an apartment. And I almost like fell backwards and I was, and then like I waited to die. Like I like took a few seconds, didn't die. And I was like, this is all. And I was like, what else are they lying about? And I just started fucking, within a week, I was just hitting everything I could get my hands on.
Shout out once again, Jason Poyle and Nick Myers. We were behind a McFrugal's, which is like a dollar store in Aurora. And they had Marlboro Lights. And we each smoked a Marlboro Light, and I was like, this is okay. All right, whatever. And then I remember Jason came by my house. He's like, I stole a pack of cigarettes from my parents. And I was like, let's go to the park. And so it started Marlboro Lights, moved to Marlboro Reds, stayed there for a little bit, then went to Camel Specials, which were in a gold pack, all white cigarettes, and then landed on Camel Lights. And Camel Lights took me the rest of the way.
And then I had a little time with Marlboro 27s. You remember those?
They're great.
Great.
Probably, I would go as far as to say, might be the perfect cigarette.
They're really, but we would sit around Marlboro and get so fucked up, and at least like once a week would come up and be like, what the fuck is 27, dude? No one ever explained, like not like we knew what light
what
was.
What does it mean?
I have no idea. Marlboro, a special blend, like the 27th try. Yeah. And they were like, this is perfect.
26, we killed everybody. 27, you live. You'll be all right. Yeah, dude. I mean, I did Camel Wides for a little bit. Those were too much.
I remember Camel Wides were good.
But they were like, you'd put it in after smoking a regular cigarette. You're like, what is this, a fucking cigar?
Yeah.
It was like crazy wide.
And then I think Parliaments might have did Wides for a little bit.
Parliaments was like, when I got to college and I started seeing how many people smoked Parliaments, that was the giveaway you did blow.
Yep, because of the little resin, thing you could put in. Yeah. I never got into Parliaments.
Me neither.
Never.
It felt like smoking paper.
Yeah. I didn't like anything about it. I didn't like, because I love to pack a pack.
It's the best.
But like, packing those Parliaments, I'm like, I'm crushing the space.
You're ruining the tip.
Yeah.
And like a good pack, you get that like that clearance of paper
where you can
even kind of twist it.
Yep,
and then you're
100%.
Like, oh, that's a third one from the left and flip it upside down.
Yep.
There is a chance in my life. I mean, what am I acting like there's a chance? Katie and I talk about it because she just quit nicotine in January. She was doing Nicorette. Wow.
And for so how long?
She did Nicorette for like 5 or 6 years.
Wow.
So she's like, still kind of got it in her where she's like, we can come back.
Yeah.
We're waiting for World War. When like the Israel stuff started popping off, we're kind of like, are we about to smoke?
Cigarettes are $2 a pack.
Yeah. We're like, are we about to come back, babe? I don't think I'll ever go back to drinking because I just got over it. And
me too. And it's also the amount of consumption is too much. Like, I think about like the drinks I haven't had in the last 11 years would fill up this apartment. I'm like, that's so gross. Like, there's
also
something about it's too much.
You know how much candy you could have had?
Right.
And that's way better.
Yeah. And it's also like, you just feel so bad. And like, you know, I just did a week in Jersey with my family and like every day I woke up feeling great and everyone else is like hungover.
That
and
sucks.
I'm like, this isn't. Yeah. I'm like, I don't. But like, I'm so grateful that now, like if I check into a hotel and there's like a bar there, I'm like, does nothing. If there's a fucking, like if you go to like Vegas in the wind and there's like cookies, peanut M&Ms, I'm like, you motherfucker.
You're trying to fuck it. You're trying to kill me.
Yeah, I'm just on the edge of the bed. Like, you're better than
it's
this,
like
Rob.
It's like Flight where you hear the refrigerator closing and you go, they did refrigerated chocolate pretzels? I'm fucked. Yeah, dude. There had to be a moment where like, you know, every season of Billions, they did a partnership with Michter's. So they would like, you'd go into your trailer and there'd be like a bottle of like 12-year-old whiskey and you're like, guys, what are you doing?
And you
don't want to be a dick, but you want to be like, can you not put it in a place where I'm alone? Like, at least put it around people. But then they would be like, hey, congratulations on the end of the season. Here's a bottle. And you're like, again, are you not reading the notes? You might as well hand me a handgun and go, don't blow your brains out. And you're like, I kind of want to.
On the TV in your trailer, there's a commercial like, McNichols.
Michter's tastes better than water.
Yeah,
and you're like, I'm
number
gonna
one.
Fucking. Dude, it was wild. But you're right. Candy now.
Oof.
A lot of comedy clubs do that where they have like bowls of candy. And then you just see me going, do you have a plastic bag in the kitchen? And they go, yeah. And then I'll just take it to my hotel room and be like, let's go.
Dude, there's these things called Honey Mamas that are in like Whole Foods. They're in a lot of places, but they have a peanut butter cup one. They have the Peruvian chocolate one. And the only sweetener is honey. They're they've kind of saved my life in a way. Like,
and they're called Honey Mamas.
Honey Mamas. The only sweetener is honey, and they're like these chocolate fudge. So if you leave them in the fridge, they're like hard and they're kind of like a chocolate bar a little. But if you leave them out, they become like a fudge brownie, bro. And the problem with me is I start eating seven a day because, and they're like big, but I'm like, yeah, but there's no problem. And then I gain like 15 pounds in a week, and I'm like, okay, I need to count the amount that I eat because otherwise I'll get out of hand.
I just did the exact same thing. I quit soda in January, right?
Yeah, I heard, yeah.
I just love soda.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I'll drink Gatorade.
I know. When I heard you say that on the pod, I was like, I can't be the guy who breaks it to him that, like, you're like, I drink iced tea. It's like, that's the same as soda.
Dude.
It's the same
thing. I was chewing Gatorade, and on my birthday, I weighed myself, and I was one of the heaviest I've ever been. And then I looked at the contents of Gatorade, and I was like, this is worse than soda.
Yeah, and even soda comes in 20, where Gatorade comes 32.
Like 64.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm just fucking slamming it. And I'm I'm getting rehydrated. And I'm just getting fat.
If I wasn't drinking alcohol, I was drinking Gatorade. Lemon lime, like OG.
I mean, Glacier Frost is king.
Yeah, but no, I still like the original OG. And then like,
you go yellow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then after 3 months, I'd be like, I need some like fruit punch or orange or Glacier Frost or whatever. But then, you know, within 3 days, I'm back to the OG.
Because you feel healthy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm like, oh, I'm replenishing my cells.
Dude, I went to Dolphins training camp last year, and they have like, you know, their food is unbelievable. It's like a private chef.
You're a Dolphin fan?
No, my buddy that I grew up with is the head coach. So,
you're 49ers.
Yeah, I'm diehard Niners.
Yeah,
but Mike McDaniel, I grew up with.
Oh, wow.
Since we were like 12. And so he was like, oh, come watch a practice. So his wife was like, do you want to get something to eat? And I was like, yeah. And we're in the cafeteria. But they have like everything state of the art, top of the line. But then they have refrigerators of cans of Gatorade. Like old school cans of lime and orange Gatorade. Dude, when I tell you I did the old school thing where I put my shirt out and put cans. And she goes, what are you? And I was like, I'm taking these back to my hotel room. And I just had like all these, and I'm like walking around and like meeting people. They're like, hey, you're Mike's friend. I'm like, nice to meet you. It's like, I look like a crackhead with a fucking shirt full of Gatorade cans.
Yeah, I haven't done that move since I was like 13.
That's what I mean.
Yeah,
yeah. But immediately that like came back to me. I'm like, use your shirt.
Yeah,
I was
like,
oh, I'll just put them
Katie's
all
like,
in
what's
here.
Wrong with your shirt? You're like, oh, that's the Gatorade shirt.
Sorry, it looks long. I put 20 pounds of Gatorade in my front pouch.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's crazy how that addict brain, you have to know it doesn't go away.
Yeah,
it just
kind
of like is a shapeshifter.
Yeah.
Where you're like, okay, I can't be doing this. Like you are with the Honey Mamas. Where you're oh, I'm doing it as bad as I did.
Totally. And then back in the day, it would last for years. Now it's like after 5 days, I'm like, oh, okay. Something's up here. You know? I'm laying in bed at night because it's like I'm having seven of these things that have 30 grams of sugar, even though it's honey. It's that you're still like... I'm like, and I'm just thinking about waking up tomorrow so I could eat something, so then I could eat Honey Mamas.
Yeah, you're like, I'll have bread, then I get to the Honey Mama. I'll have an apple.
Yeah, and then I'm like, what's the easiest? I'll have a hot dog, and then I'll just have seven more Honey Mamas. Yeah.
I'm doing it with coffee now. I'm starting to realize, like, my brain's like, have a coffee. I was at the cellar last night, and I was like, have a coffee.
Mm.
It doesn't have sugar in it, and it was 10 o'clock, and then I'm laying in my bed at 1 a.m., like, why am I like this right now? And it's maybe because you drank a fucking 16-ounce coffee 3 hours ago.
My uncle just quit coffee like 4 days ago, and I've been telling him for years. Like, I don't like to preach, but I am like pretty knowledgeable now with like healthy shit. So like I try and do the assist where I'm like, hey, you might want to try this. But he was like, dude, last 4 nights I got the first like more than 3 hour night sleep in the last 20 years. And he's like, yeah, I just stopped coffee. And I'm like, yeah,
I need to hear that.
Yeah. And I'm like, and he's like, wow. He's like, bro, like my days are better. Like everything's better. Cause he said, I didn't even know people still measured coffee in pots, but he was like, I would have a pot a day.
That's nuts. That's such an old school thing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm having a pot a day.
Yeah. He's only like, 60. I'm like,
we're doing ounces. I'm like, I drink about 32 ounces of coffee a day. It's a fucking good amount.
Yeah. And he's like, you know, I still make half a pot for my wife in the morning, but I just stay away.
That's
I'm
so
like,
fucking
all right.
Dangerous. That'd be like if you were baking cakes.
Yeah. Yeah,
you'd be
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I can't fucking touch any of this.
Dude, the Honey Mamas. I remember.
I'm so
like,
excited about Honey Mamas. Honey Mamas, you're welcome.
Are you a peanut butter?
Love
like
it.
A.
Yes.
Oh, dude, it tastes like Reese's, but it's healthy.
And it's at Whole Foods?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Dude, it's...
Son of a bitch.
But don't make the mistake. They have other flavors that you can... They have like lavender, no. tangerine, tahini. Get the fuck out. They have shit
peanut
that's like...
Peanut butter.
The peanut butter and the Peruvian chocolate and the salted almond is banging.
I mean, all three.
It's
all three.
Dude, they're so good. I haven't been this excited to talk about anything for years.
But you know what I mean? You get that like thing where you go, oh dude. And my like God. When you explain it, it's the way I used to explain doing a shot and then a beer where I go, Jameson, and then you got a fucking cold bottle of Bud and it just fucking goes. But these Honey Mamas, I mean, dude, I am going to get, because I am genuinely excited about this.
What was your last day of drinking?
So I did this, I got hired for Guinness. So I was a brand ambassador.
Wow.
It's what took me out of waiting tables. Because I was doing stand-up, I did Montreal, and then I got hired for Guinness to... Dude, they sent me to Ireland. They, like, sent me to the Guinness storehouse, and they fucking... Like, I had unfettered access. I went to, like, the Gravity Bar upstairs, and you're only allowed one Guinness. But I was meeting who at the time was the brewmaster, Fergal Murray. And they were like, I mean, so Irish. I was like, can I get another Guinness? And she's like... You're only allowed one here at the Gravity Bar. And I was like, I'm meeting Fergal Murray. She goes, you're meeting Fergal. And I go, yeah. She goes, if you're meeting Fergal, the second he comes up here, I'll pour you another one. He walked up. He's like, Dan. And she was like, just fucking pulling the hatch. So I worked for Oh, there
she
they
are. She was sorry in the frost.
Yeah. There's a picture of her in pouting. Like a barista. Honey yeah. Mamas. There
so
they
that
are.
One on the right is the Peruvian chocolate. That's the first one I ever had. So it still has a special place in my heart. The one... Over to the left, that pink one, that's yeah. something tahini. Fuck that. But
okay.
down,
yeah, fuck that.
Down under that, that's original Dutch, but now they call that salted almond. Awesome.
Unbelievable.
And so good. And then they have a chocolate cake one, which I'm not a huge fan, but it's not terrible. Dude, they have a lavender one that I'd rather get punched in the face.
That bad?
One time I was like, all right, I'm going to try this. I couldn't believe, I almost disowned the brand.
Yeah.
I was like, this, it tastes like you're eating a flower. Like, yeah. It tastes like you bit into
it's
a...
soap. That's like a, lavender's like a kind of a soap to me.
And I'm sure it's like, yeah, no shit, dude. Of course, that's what it's going to taste like. But then the one that they don't have is the brand new, can you see if they have the peanut butter anywhere? That shit is like a month old.
How are they not sponsoring your podcast?
Dude, I don't know, but I'm in love. You know what I think the problem is? Anytime, because I buy them in Whole Foods, but sometimes I try and order them online. And whenever I go to order them, they're sold out. So I think like they don't need help. I don't think they're like big enough to need press to sell more.
But if they're smart. This is, I mean, this has been a commercial. I'm on, you got me on. I guarantee you have, because a lot of people that listen to me have stopped using substances, but still have fucking sweets.
Yeah. This I'm going to feel so bad if you're like, these suck.
No, no, no.
Yeah.
I'll lie to you.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
please.
Oh, they rule. They're just eating Reese's Pieces. I'm like, yeah, yeah, these suck.
The peanut butter you should have cold.
Okay.
But the Peruvian chocolate and the salted almond, you can let that sit out for a little bit and it gets a little like gooey.
Yeah.
And you like sometimes you need a spoon for that shit. Oh.
You know what's funny is like some of my friends I can talk about like using drugs, food. I can't talk around Bobby Kelly. Because Bobby will be like, dude, I fucking, here's what you do. Because like former fat guys know like little tricks where they go, nah, here's what you put it on the windowsill for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And then you put it in the freezer.
But you crack the window just a little.
Just get a little breeze in there. And they're like, this is fucking unbelievable.
I was 200 pounds in the pilot of Sopranos.
That's nuts.
Yeah, I was a bigger, I used to fucking go crazy.
Yeah, well then it's always there. Like,
oh, yeah.
That thing in you that goes to drugs or alcohol is always there.
Yeah, it's like one is good, two is great, three. But then
why
like,
not have 17?
Like, why count?
Yeah, also, when I could find it, when I was a teenager and I found out that I could hold my liquor, finding out, it was my rookie of the year moment where he throws the baseball and he's like, to home plate. And I was like, oh, I could polish a half a bottle of Jack and still walk around.
Yeah,
you guys
are
big, big trouble. and you don't realize like, oh yeah, this killed my father and my grandfather. Probably shouldn't go down the same road.
Yep.
But you're like, it almost is like, they should do that in a superhero movie where like the superhero's dad got killed and they're like, you do have this power,
right?
But it will kill you.
And all the pictures with his dad's yellow from jaundice. Yeah.
You're like, his liver stopped functioning after a while.
Comedy fans know that life can get a little wild, and so can your schedule. Marley Spoon gets it. Some days you want to cook from scratch, and other days you just need something quick that still tastes great. Marley Spoon has over 100 recipes to choose from every week, from comforting classics to fresh, balanced dishes. There are even snacks and drinks for those in-between moments, perfect for when you need a break from laughing at your favorite stand-up. Everything is chef-designed and made with quality ingredients, so you can feel good about what you eat. Marley Spoon fits your life, no matter how busy or unpredictable it gets. Go to marleyspoon.com/offer/pod45 for 45% off your first order and free delivery. That's right, 45% off your first order and free delivery. That's marleyspoon.com/offer/POD45.
But like when you're, so what's funny is you were talking about the going to like the Nickelodeon Awards, the Kid Choice Awards, and the kids freaking out about the other stars. Was that weird for you and Jamie when you have adults like basically crying to you about how much the show meant?
Yeah, that was weird. Because again, it's like you had this these two lives where like kids didn't know who I was. So I'd be in the park hanging out and like none of my friends would be fucking. So like on a Thursday, Friday night, I could be like drinking 40, smoking blunts in Carshalds Park on 86th and like East End.
Yeah.
And then Saturday, Sunday, I'd be flying first class to LA at the Emmy, staying at the Peninsula.
That's
and
nuts.
Then Monday, I'd be back. It's like smoking and drinking in the park. And my friends, it was never a thing of like, so how was it?
Like, yeah, they're just like, no, you were gone this weekend.
The only time it ever, I had like a free crib, we called it, when like, you know, the parents went away and like everybody came over to my apartment and somebody was like, what's that thing on top of your TV? And I was like, oh, that's a SAG award. And they were like, oh, you won the Saggy Nut Award? And then for years, my friends were just like, yeah, Rob's got saggy nuts. Yeah, and they were like, Saggy Nut Award. And I was like, oh, I could never bring that, this shit up.
That probably has to save you to a certain extent because
totally because you're like my friends are just gonna make fun of me if I talk about this shit.
My friends now don't give a fuck.
If
I do a show in Denver, they're like I'll go,
right?
But they're not like they're like, yeah, whatever, you're still a fucking giant headed weirdo,
right? And now like, I'm back in New York City, so like I'm seeing my friends, and I love like how honest New York people are. Like I went to my best friend's place, his mom and dad are there, and the dad was like, yeah, I follow your show on Instagram. He's like, you know, some of it's pretty good.
Dude, that's so funny.
And I was like, thanks. And he literally was like, there's some stuff, it's not for me. And I was like, okay. Like,
not for me.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, it still can sting if it's done not right.
Right.
But most of the time, dude, I put out my Comedy Central half hour, my Comedy Central Presents, and my best friend Danny, he's still in Aurora, you know, I go back there.
Oh, yeah, his mom didn't like it.
Yeah,
right?
his mom just goes, he goes, my mom doesn't think you're funny. And you go, I don't know if you have to phrase it like that.
Right.
You can go,
yeah.
She sees the talent, she just doesn't like the jokes.
Yeah.
But he goes, nah, she doesn't like it. And you're like, well, fuck you.
Yeah.
But it is good because you're like, oh, I'm going to be treated normal. Like, there's not.
100%. I'm so happy that I have him to not be like, because those kids in LA, like, no one would ever say to some kid in LA on Nickelodeon, like, yeah, you weren't good last
week.
You know what I mean? Like, they're just.
Because they're trying to get something.
Yeah, they're all like, dude, I hate, like, the time I spent in LA, it's like so much time was spent being like, you'd be at somebody's house and be like, yeah, nobody likes this guy. I'm like, well, then what is everybody fucking here for? Like,
yeah, why are you guys hanging out with
him?
LA, and then to your face, they're like, that was amazing.
Yeah, it's like, oh, his dad invented Simon, the game Simon. You remember Simon?
Fuck
and you're
yeah,
like,
I remember Simon.
And you're like, I don't fucking care. Like, let's get out of here.
Yeah,
like,
let's go hang out and be kids.
Yeah, I'm like, this sucks.
I mean, you in a kind of a way, it was fortunate that if you're going to be in one of the most classic legendary shows of all time, you're doing it here.
Where people
are like, yeah, we don't really, you know, like,
and everybody on the show was from here.
Yeah.
There were no LA actors on the show.
Which is, that.
It
yeah.
was awesome.
Just
it was
not having them being like, I'm very blessed.
Right.
Is James around? And they're like, leave and go talk. And you're like, dude,
or
the
beef
of
like, we would hear about other shows and it would be like, yeah, there was a fight on set about whose trailer was close, not even who had the biggest trailer, but whose was parked closest to the front door of where they were shooting. It's like, we would all go into one trailer and hang.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, we'd be like, yo, let's fucking hang. Like, everybody was
just.
But
that keeps your sanity.
Totally. Yeah.
I mean, there's like a reason, and you could see it on your podcast that you and Jamie are normal people. And I think that's why you guys aren't like detached in a way where you're like, because I mean, it is like kind of like being like almost like a royalty or the child of like a president has got to feel the same way where you're like, people are kissing my ass, but not for the right reasons.
Right. Yeah.
In LA, it just feels like that's all it is.
Yeah, and there was like, but like the cool thing was like the guys, like, you know, everywhere from the writers, directors, like everybody got it to the point where like, I don't know exactly what it was, like the first couple years we didn't win best show at the Emmys or how the thing was, we just felt like outcasts and like you felt weird. So on like the third year, We would go to Brad Gray's house, who was like, you know, the head of whatever, Paramount. I don't know what he was the head of, but he was a great guy. And he would have us over his house. And the third year, they started doing something called the Eckley Awards. And they said, like, Eckley was Junior's retarded brother on the show. And they made, like, an Eckley Awards where it was, like, you won, like, a cue ball.
That's
and, like,
great.
We would all, they would get up and be, like, the winner this year for best scene swimming. And they would, like, have, fun. like a 1950s, somebody, like, drowning in a black and white movie. Yeah, and then, like, me swimming in a pool. And they'd be, like, the winner's Robert Eiler. And, like, you walk up and get this, like, fucking pool cue ball.
That's
like
it.
It was just always like us were like, we don't belong, you know.
Did they ever have, because, you know, obviously it's like the mafia show, did they ever have people around that even at your young age you're like, oh, this dude is dangerous, like this guy, like you meet someone where you're kind of like, because when you meet dangerous people or people that really can like handle themselves, there's an air about them that you're like, oh, I don't fuck with you.
Oh, there was no fucking, like, so Tony Sirico, who's Paulie Walnuts with the gray on the side, he did time. Like, he was really...
Yeah, he was like a legit guy.
Right. So, and there was like, he showed up to my communion or my confirmation, whatever, with the guy. And he's like, yeah, this is Jimmy the Hat. Like, you know, and you're like, oh, hey, hello, Jimmy. Like,
yeah, you know, like, you're like, hello, James. Kid. Nice like, to meet you. Yeah, and just, I won't like, make eye contact with you.
And they would have their plus ones. And like, those are the type of dudes who would be coming around. And you're like, okay. So it was like this weird thing of like, you know, my 14 or 15, you started being like, oh, I kind of hang out with like dudes in the mob now.
Yeah,
I
you're
guess.
Like, that's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, I'm like, all right, I can hang out.
That's gotta be like the kind of thing of like, even if your dad was a rapper and you're like, oh shit, this guy is legit.
Right. And then when I light up that cigarette in front of my dad, I'm like, yeah, you want me to tell Jimmy that you got a problem
Jimmy
with
Jimmy the Hat could come by and I don't think you're mowing the lawn on Saturday.
Yeah, exactly.
I think you got two busted legs. Yeah, there was a moment where... we did an episode where it was like a celebrity boxing event or whatever, and they kept us all in the same area while they're doing like changing the camera angles on Billions. And I'm just talking to this like older dude, but I had the air of like, this guy is rich.
You just felt it. Right.
They wanted to bring billionaires on the show to be like, hey, Billions, there are all these billionaires. And I'm talking to this guy, and David Levine, one of the creators, the guy walked away, he goes, you know who that is? And I was like, I have no idea. It's just like a night, like powerful old man. He goes, this guy that shorted Enron. And you're like, oh, no shit, that old guy. And you're like, that's fucking nuts.
Yeah,
and you like
just
have no idea because you're like, I'm just talking to him. We're just like complaining about the sandwiches that were wet, you know.
And now there were guys on Sopranos that when they cracked their knuckles, you were like, you know what I mean? Like, you were
that's dangerous.
Like that's yeah.
Like ours is fiscally like, oh, that guy's could probably buy my whole family and sell me.
Yeah.
On the Sopranos, you're like, oh, this guy. You can like see the way he moves, and you're like, oh shit. All right.
I remember one time like Tony Sirico heard that like I was acting crazy at like a poker game, but it didn't really happen. He like heard I lost like a huge amount of money, and I was like, dude, I've never even gambled more at the time, like more than like $1,000. Like he heard I lost like 20 grand in a poker game and all this stuff. And I was telling him, I was like, yo, I'm telling you, and like, you know, again, it's a kid telling him, like, you're wrong. Like, you don't know. And he looked at me, he was like, I got my ear to the ground, kid. You know? And I was like, I was like,
at school, dude. Yeah. I mean, in real life though, you have to go like, there was a moment where Paulie Wallace told me, hey, fucking ear to the ground.
And I was like, I'm not saying you don't. I'm just saying,
Tony, no disrespect.
I didn't lose 20 grand. At some fucking, you know, mob-run casino downtown. Like,
that's
it wasn't
so
me.
That's so funny, and he definitely had to hear it and go, I'm going to talk to the kid.
Right. And it was just, again, it was like some guy who wanted to probably talk to him, and he heard, like, some story of me that someone exaggerated, and then he's like, oh, yeah, this kid blew 20 grand in an hour at my friend's illegal casino, and where it was like, you know, I probably played one hand of blackjack and lost. It was like, drinking. Who knows what it was, but like...
Do you still play poker?
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, that's got to be... Do you notice when you're playing like a big game that people don't recognize you until like middle of the game? Has that happened where people are like looking up and they're like, are you?
I've had every, like, I've played so much. Like, I moved to Vegas, like, just to party and play. Like, I went to Vegas for 2 weeks, and I came home, like, a year and a half later.
Yeah.
And I was there.
Nuts.
I was there by myself. I had no friend. I had, like, one guy who was, like, kind of friends there. But I was just like, no, I was going to play the World Series of Poker, and I got, like, 275th place out of, like, whatever, 7,000 people, and it paid like over 40 grand. So I was like, I'm going to take this 40 grand and just see if I could like live in Vegas for a bit and like get an apartment in the nicest fucking condo building here, rent somebody's apartment. Like, let's hang out.
Yeah.
And then, it turned into like 18 months, and I was going out of my mind. But like through all that time, I've seen it all. Like I've sat at a game for 10 hours where nobody knew who I was. I've walked up to a table where people started like freaking out. I've had the full like.
Do you? I mean, if you're trying to win money from these people.
Yeah.
Is it easier if they know who you are? Because you kind of are like.
It's always
they're
different.
A little lost.
It's different also because some people when they find out who I am, they're like, oh yeah, you play a lot. Like you do play. Where yeah. like there's some people who are like, oh, you're just the guy from Sopranos, so you must be here to fucking fuck around.
Yeah, like, I'm gonna take your money, and then you are like, I got you on
right,
this one.
Yeah, and I'm like, no, I have more hours than anyone to put into this.
Dear, like all I have is free time.
Exactly.
Do
yeah.
Do you still go to Vegas a lot?
No, so I lived in Vegas a second time when I was sober, and I was like, "This sucks,
dude." I was that was
sucks.
That was the jab I was leading with to be like, "I cannot do Vegas."
We do Skankfest.
I go to Skankfest every year. Great fun, awesome comedy festival. But I have about 2 days, 3 days.
Yeah, if Vegas had a couple of spots for me that had like healthier food,
yeah.
I could make it good because it's like they have great gyms, they have spas, they have like I could make it a good time. But the food in Vegas is so bad.
I mean, it's all deep fried, it's all fat, it's all like
dreamy.
I know what you mean.
It's so bad.
But it also is like the hospitality capital of the world.
Yeah.
So the hotels are everything you need. Kind of in the wrong way.
Right.
You can get the bad candy. You can get anything sent up to your room
where
you're
yeah,
like,
yeah.
This isn't what I need. But they know, like, if we scratch that itch, you'll stay around and put your money in it.
Dude, I remember one time at Caesars, I got paid like 10 grand to do a thing. And they were like, we could pay you the 10 grand or we could just leave it cash in your room in chips. Like, you want it in chips in your room? And
you
I was like, yeah, right.
Your ear
like,
goes up. You go, yes. Yes, I do.
I thought,
why's your ass shaking? You go, it's a tail that doesn't exist. But you understand where I'm at. Yeah, there is a moment where, like, if someone was like, well, we got weed and PlayStation in your room, I'd be like, I don't need to go anywhere.
Yeah,
well, I can
yeah.
be here for 10 days.
Now it's like personal chef. If you told me, like, there's a personal chef and you text them whatever you want, that's all I would need. I'd be like, okay, I'll stay forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where do you go to play poker now?
So living in Austin during COVID, a few of like the biggest poker players in the world got together and opened up or kind of like expanded this small poker spot. And now it's like maybe the number one place to play in the United States.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's called Lodge.
It's called what?
The Lodge.
And it's in Austin.
It's in Austin. You go there 24 hours a day, game going. Hanging out.
That's incredible.
Bring your own beer. So people are bringing bottles to the table. Everyone's taking shots. And like when you're in Vegas or when I would play in other places like LA, when someone loses a hand, they're mad.
Yeah.
In Texas, they lose a hand and they're like, oh, nice hand, kid. Yeah. Like, you know.
You got me,
yeah,
brother.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they're like, call me with my pants down.
Yeah,
you know?
They're doing
you're
Texas like, sayings yeah. or they're like, well, a bull wearing a dress.
Right.
You got me
yeah.
on that.
I guess you spiced my twangs. yeah. I'm like, yeah, okay, sure.
You should go to a place. I say this to everyone that lives in Austin. It's my favorite place for breakfast. My uncle told me about it. It's called Cisco's on East 5th. And it's like a Mexican restaurant. And it is fucking unbelievable.
I think I might have heard it's breakfast taco thing.
Yeah.
I think I might. Jamie's husband,
right
I think, might
there.
Be obsessed with that spot.
Cisco's. It fucking rules.
Okay.
If you get the Migos, dude, with fucking chorizo, it's like when I go down there, if I go down there to do podcasts or shows or whatever, it's the first place I go to.
Have you been to Suerte?
No.
Just those tacos.
Okay.
They're the best tacos I think I've ever had.
Because all my friends are moving there. Like Shane lives down there now. And like,
yeah,
it, you know,
yeah.
with the comedy mothership and all that stuff, like it makes sense to go do, you know, if I go down there to go do your mom's house or like that kind of stuff. I was trying to do your guys' podcast, but it was on a day where I had a show in like San Antonio, so I couldn't do it.
But I love
going to Austin for the food.
Yeah.
I mean, the food is fucking.
Best sushi I've ever had.
Really?
Uchi, UCHI, that place.
Really?
Is the best sushi I've ever had. But
no
that
shit.
Suerte, those tacos, is it braised short rib tacos? And they put something they call like magic oil on. Oh my God. And every time I go, listen, I like the people there, whatever. The waitresses are like, you know, that's a lot of food. I want to get a shirt that says, I know it's a lot of food. I've been to a restaurant
just
before.
Just on a pocket square that says I can put this away.
yeah. This isn't my first time. And then it was so funny because I took it was my brother, my sister, and my brother's girlfriend. There were four of us. And I'm like, guys, I got this. And I just start fucking rifling shit off.
That's
and I'm
the
like,
best.
I'm like, we want four orders of the Suadero taco. We want this. We want this. We want that. And like, I wasn't even done. And she's like, I just want to stop you. Like, that's a lot of food. And I was like, I've been here before. Yeah. Like,
also, it's driving your bill up.
Right, right,
Why
right.
Don't you just be cool?
Yeah. And I'm like, hold on, let me.
I
so then,
I would never stop someone from doing that.
What was cool is we ate every fucking bite of food, and at the end, she came over to the edge of the table and she goes, "Next time I'll shut my fucking mouth."
Really?
And I was like, "Oh, I was like, I love you." Yeah, oh, yeah. I was like, yeah. "I love you." You
just,
you know? Fucking,
that's self-awareness.
Yeah.
Just got you 30%.
Yeah, and me and my brother go, how long before she says that's a lot of food? We're like, how far do I make it into my order? So like 60% of the way. Yeah,
you should know that's a lot.
Yeah. Oh, dude, because I eat once a day.
Yeah.
So every time I go, they're like, that's a lot. I'm like, I'm very hungry.
This is all I have?
Yeah.
Don't take this fucking away
from
me.
Yeah, it's all I have.
This is all I have. There's nothing better than when someone knows a place or knows how to order for a group.
Oh.
The feeling of that, going out to eat with Tim Dillon is the, when I tell you that my mom still talks about it. So years ago, Tim opened for me at Comedy Works in Denver, and they opened a quality Italian there. And his, I mean, which is unbelievable.
Wow, yeah.
But his uncle works for Smith & Wilinski, which owns all that, the quality meat, quality
Italian. Uncle?
Tim Dillon's.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
So Tim was like, listen, they're opening a quality Italian. We got to go to lunch. And I was like, Mom, you should come to lunch with Tim and I. And she was like, I would love to. And Tim was like, I got it. My mom ordered the drinks, her drinks. And then Tim was like, sausage and peppers, the chicken palm pizza. And just kept it going. My mom would go, that's still to this day probably the best lunch I've ever had in my life. Because Tim was just like a maestro, maestro.
Yeah.
And it happened just recently with Katie and I in Boston. I was doing the Wilbur the night after Tim, and I was like, you still in town? He's like, we'll get lunch. And then he's like, we'll go into this seafood place. And Katie's from Boston. She's like, this place fucking rules. We walk in, he's in the back booth, and he's like, I already ordered the seafood tower. And it just comes out, and you're like, it's fucking, it's one of the coolest experiences is to have, like, if I go, when I come to Austin, we're going out there to Swerto's, and I'm letting you run the table.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm letting you fucking point guard it.
So McCusker was nice enough to do our pod, so we were like, oh, like, you know, we'll go out to fucking sushi after whenever you just moved there. And I'm like, yeah, let's go.
Comedy fans know that life can get a little wild, and so can your schedule. Marley Spoon gets it. Some days you want to cook from scratch, and other days you just need something quick that still tastes great. Marley Spoon has over 100 recipes to choose from every week. From comforting classics to fresh, balanced dishes. There are even snacks and drinks for those in-between moments, perfect for when you need a break from laughing at your favorite stand-up. Everything is chef-designed and made with quality ingredients, so you can feel good about what you eat. Marley Spoon fits your life, no matter how busy or unpredictable it gets. Go to marleyspoon.com/offer/pod45 for 45% off your first order and free delivery. That's right, 45% off your first order and free delivery. That's marleyspoon.com/offer/POD45.
And when we sat down, I'm like, if everyone is okay with this, I can just order for the table. And they were like, well, should we do that or omakase? And I was like, what I order is better than what that
guy does.
The guy
offended
from Japan is in the back. I'm like, I know much better than that guy.
This guy, I know he spent his whole life. Let me fucking run this shit.
Yeah.
That's so funny. And you're like, I got this.
Yeah, and I fucking just, and it was a great dinner.
At the end of the meal, they're just like thanking you. It's like a food orgasm.
Yeah.
You want to go,
it's like it's kind of like you cook.
Yeah. And they're like, oh.
Yeah.
But they're like laying in bed being like, you just rocked my world.
Yeah.
And you're like,
and I'm just rolling up my sleeves. I'm like, you know.
I
just
come here to munch once in a while.
Yeah,
dude. I fucking love that shit because I always am afraid I'm going to mess up and like, if I order my, sometimes I'll order something and someone else will order something else. I'm like, I should have got that.
Yeah. See, I won't do it in a place I haven't been.
Yeah.
But when my spots, I'm like, everybody can, I should just get there 20 minutes early, order, and then everyone gets there coming.
When we would do Moon Tower in Austin, we would always like Big J and I and like a lot of comics would go to Cisco's and I'd be like, I'm not telling you how, follow my lead.
Get
the migas, get the side of tortillas and biscuits because then they bring the, like the ketchup things of honey and butter and you put them on the biscuits and you're like, this is just fucking unbelievable.
Do you remember Jackson Hole in New York City? It was like a famous like burger spot and they were so famous for their burgers. Like,
I remember Jackson
it was like
Hole.
You show up, there's a plate of pickles, you order your burger, it's like a you know, it's like an institution. This is what you do. And I remember I went there with a girl one time and we're ordering and she was like, I'll have the chicken sandwich. And it was like, the waiter was like, she's like, I don't even know if we have.
Can we do that?
Yeah. She was like, where'd you see that? Because everyone just picks like the burger with this, you know? And she was like, yeah, I think like we can do that. And I was like, I'm sorry. You know, I'm looking, I'm like,
it's so funny. Yeah. She doesn't know the culture. Yeah. She's not cultured. There was a burger place, a secret burger place in the Parker Meridian called the Burger Spot or the Burger Shack.
Here?
Yeah, in New York on 57th Street. Okay. And I used to work at, this is like 07. I worked at K-Rock at WXRK, which was 40 West 57th and like, you know, where Stern used to work or whatever. And one of the old guys from K-Rock was like, hey, I'm going to take you to this burger place. Like, it's literally half a block away. And I was like, yeah, I love burgers. Yeah. And we, like, went, and he's like, here, you order this way, this way, this way. And I got up and made an ass out of him where I was like, can I get bacon on it? And they were like, and the guy was like, I got Cheesemo. Shout out, Cheesemo. Cheesemo was like, move. And then he just ordered it. And I was like, oh, this fuck. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's like when you realize you're like, I'm an asshole.
Yeah, it's like the Philly cheesesteak when you get up to the thing. And that's they're like, what you Jay want did. The wit. And you're like,
They're like, yeah, today, bud, you got to fucking go. Yeah. There's a whole fucking line behind you. And you're like, cheese and onions. Yeah. And I don't know.
You're there. You're like, they want onion powder. You're like, is that going to give me heartburn? Yeah. And he's like, I ain't got time for you, buddy.
When I was opening for Jay years ago in Philly, he took me to Jim's on South Street. And he was like, we're not going to do cheesesteak. We're going to do hoagie. And he like told me how to order it, and I was like, oh yeah, okay. Just go with God. Just go with whoever is there and is confident.
Yeah.
You gotta
yeah.
have that trust.
That's what I was saying. We were talking about it earlier today. It's 90% is the confidence.
It's just like, dude, if someone's that confident,
yeah,
I'm with it.
I'm staying at a friend's place now who they're away for like 2 weeks and fucking wherever they are.
Yeah.
Poland, she's Polish. And I would go to visit my friend all the time. When I'd walk into that building, they'd be like, hey, sir, what apartment are you going? Like, you know, you're visiting or whatever. Yeah. And now, just because I have the keys in my pocket, when I walk in, they're like, hey, how's your day? But like, and I just walk right in. It's like, oh, I could have done this.
Dude.
You just walk in there with the fucking confidence. And
it's crazy you say that, because we moved into this building like a year and a half, less than 2 years ago. And I've never lived with a doorman building. And I've always done that like, I might as well use my full name when I go in there. Like, my name's Daniel Soder and I'm here to go to this apartment.
Yeah.
And now I've noticed the same thing. When we have a new door guy, I live there. So I just walk in, I'm like, hey. And he's like, hi, sir. And you're like, all right. And not like, can I help you or any of that?
Yeah.
And it is confidence. You know when I had that confidence? I used to play in a softball league for the restaurant I worked in. And it was like a booze league. It was a beer league. So we'd drink in the afternoons on Mondays, playing softball in Central Park. Joe List calls me, and Shane Moss, the comic, is doing Conan, and I'm like drunk from my softball game.
Oh,
and
the he's confidence!
Like, yeah, dude, 100%.
Yeah, you and did a fucking home run that day. Dude, no,
I was
it.
Feeling it. I was like, yeah. I think I was like 3 for 5.
Ask like, Conan if he wants me on. I hit a fucking. Dude, yeah.
And I'm drunk. I'm no joke. I think it was the day we won the championship, and we're having like a barbecue in the park, and I'm hammered. And List goes, Shane Moss is doing Conan. I got an extra ticket. Do you want to go? And I was like, I'll meet you at 30 Rock. Dude, I walked in. There was lines out the door. I'm drunk. I don't really remember how it went. I sat like a row behind the Max Weinberg 7. Yeah. And I wasn't with
you're
Joe.
In the band.
Joe, yeah, I'm playing drums. Max, I got to move over. But Joe List was like, you didn't get your ticket. And I was like, oh, I don't know. I'm here. I was texting him. I'm like, I'm here. I'm like, 2 rows behind the Max Weinberg 7. He's like, how? And you're like, drunk confidence, baby.
Yeah, just fucking
I think I said
in,
Shane like, Moss's name like 3 times. I was like, Shane Moss? Shane Moss? And they're like, I don't know. This guy's walking with a purpose.
And the door guy's like, oh, his dad owns the building. Yeah. Like, what are you talking about?
I think that's that's Marty Rock. Yeah. His dad, he's a Rockefeller. I think that's one of the Rockefeller kids. Yeah, dude, it's wild. That, like, people don't realize, I mean, that's basically the whole premise of Catch Me If You Can.
Right.
It's just if you have the right confidence. But you show that at a restaurant, you're like, I'm ordering a plate of poop. And I'll be like, this is going to be the best plate of poop I've ever eaten.
I hope it's a steaming pot.
I mean, dude, the way you had the confidence with Honey Mamas, I'm like, I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm locked in. I'm going to go to Whole Foods and buy
it. And there's some things in my life where, like, when I tell someone to do something, if they go, oh, I didn't like it, I go, you're an idiot. Like, I have zero. Like, I'm like, no, that's not, that's you. Like, you know, like what I was talking today about, Love on the Spectrum. When somebody says they don't like Love on the Spectrum, I'm like, oh, you, there's something wrong with you.
You didn't watch it enough.
Yeah, right. I'm like, how did you watch that?
Yeah. And people will be like, I went to WWE Raw. It sucked. I go, you didn't do it right.
Yeah.
No, you got to get into the chants.
Yeah.
You got to talk shit to a little kid around you.
Yeah.
I took one of my friends to SummerSlam, and he watched me and an 8-year-old kid go back and forth, and he's like, you're sick in the head. And I was like, how fun is it, though?
Yeah.
That kid's going to hate me the rest of his life. Because I kept going, John Cena sucks. And he was like, John Cena. And I was like, John Cena sucks. I went like taunt. I was like kind of taunting the kid. And he's like, fuck this kid. But then at the end of the match, I was like, good. Cena won. And I was like, hey, kid. And he
shake
was like,
hands.
He gave me like the nod of approval where he's like,
he's going to have right the sign. He's going to have a big, what do you call that? Like the cardboard. Cardboard. What is that called? Oak tag?
Yeah.
He's going to have a big oak tag sign. Dan Soder sucks.
He's like, I fucking, that guy's been a villain since I've been 9 years old.
Yeah.
Fuck that guy.
Dude, I was obsessed with wrestling growing up. And I remember we got good seats to one that my uncle was obsessed with too. And he got us good seats to, I think, Survivor Series.
Shout out.
And I remember going up to like right up against the fence to meet Bret Hart.
Hell
and like
yeah.
Putting my arm out as he ran out. And I got to the front and I was arm out, fat, couldn't be happier. And then all of a sudden, everybody else came from behind me and squished my fat ass against the rail, everything. Dude, I left there and I looked at my uncle. I was like, I don't think I like wrestling anymore.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, I'm over it.
You know
I'm
why? Because of a guy like me leaning over you going, Brett, you're the greatest of all time.
Sweating, smelling. And I was like, I'm going to die. And just no one listening.
Oh,
and
dude.
And I remember being like, I'll never do it. Every concert I ever went to after that, my friends would be like, we're fucking going up to the front. Nope, not me. I stay in the back.
The second you feel a crowd push you unintentionally at any live event, you kind of go, number one, we're animals. You like understand that we're animals.
Yeah.
And number two, you're like, yeah, fuck this. I learned very early on when I was working at a radio station, I would do that thing where I was like, I want to go to the front. I want to go to the front. And then my friend that worked at the radio station was like, no. You want to stand in front of the sound booth. He goes, because that's the guy that's listening.
Right.
And you're going to hear the concert the best. So now with my friends, I'll be like, get to the sound booth. Get to the sound booth. And except one time we're going to see Pearl Jam. And people know this story, but I took mushrooms or truffles, whatever they call it.
Yeah.
We went to go see Pearl Jam in Amsterdam. And we were in front of the sound booth. Everything was great. And then I was like, I need a water so bad. And I went to go get a water. And I came back. And there's no openers in Europe. So just the band comes out. And the lights went off. And I couldn't get back to my spot. And I was like, this isn't worth fighting for. I was on enough drugs where I was like, I'm going to stand at the very back of the arena because I'm freaking out now.
Yeah.
I was getting like heavy visuals. And I was like, this isn't worth the fight.
Well, that like, what was it? A UK comic was on here, right? And he was talking about how like 97 people got crushed in that.
Oh, yeah, dude. That's like a crazy 30
for
30.
Yeah, I want to watch. I heard you talk about that. I was like, I got to watch.
Yeah. That's Adam Rowe rules as a comic. But yeah, he was talking about being a Liverpool fan. And a bunch of their fans got crushed. Because bad security guard. They opened the wrong part of the stadium. You'll see. Like, you should watch because it's a fucking great 30 for 30.
Yeah.
But it ends up being someone opened the wrong gate. And I mean, that's what happened with The Who in Cincinnati. Like, people got
crushed.
My
worst nightmare.
Yeah, getting crushed is like
awful, dude.
Dude, when that like Travis Scott Astroworld thing happened.
Yeah.
Because people get so excited, they don't realize like, oh, someone's... It's what I always hate in movies where someone falls when people are running and then they just get back up. You're like, it wouldn't be that easy.
Yeah.
You're going to get a couple footprints on you.
Yeah. But it's like, if you think about, like, if you've ever been pushed by one person and now imagine 10,000.
And
like,
they're not singular.
And that rail ain't moving.
Dude,
like
that's
that,
nuts.
Oof.
I've been at concerts
so
where they've had to tell people, like, back the fuck up. You're crushing people in the front row.
Yeah, I've seen people get, like, pulled out of the, you know, and they, like, pull somebody out of the front and then you go around to the back.
Yeah.
Dude, that, and I don't, but then the crazy thing is there's still people who are like, I gotta get to the front.
They just want to be that close. I almost
unreal.
Think it might be a genius strategy to go, crush me. They're like, what? And they're like, crush me.
Everyone on three.
They're going to pull me out, and I'm going to go backstage.
Yeah.
You just get a bar in your thing, you're like, help.
10 seconds later, you're just back in the back of the crowd, and you're like, wait.
Yeah, how did the fuck, I got all the way put back here, I was in the front.
Yeah, it's like in the machine that pushes the quarters off of the thing.
Yeah, and then it goes all the way back.
And then you're just like, how did I get all the way?
Or they don't notice you, you're like, Lady Gaga, look at me.
Yeah.
It's just this fucking thing.
You're like fucking.
In your fucking solo plex.
Yeah.
Dude, I can't thank you enough for coming on the podcast.
Oh, man. Dude, thanks for having me.
What a fun hang. You know, I'm sorry for my fat, stupid dog.
Oh,
that
no,
would
dude.
Have given you allergies.
You know, because I have asthma, when I have allergies from a dog or a cat, I have to, like, go to the hospital.
Yeah,
I don't
want
to get,
that.
Like, an oxygen thing. And I'm like, and I tell, like, you know, Zolo, the producer from YMH, she's so great. But I always have to tell him, like, can you ask if there's a dog or a cat there?
No.
Which is, like, the worst. I hate asking it so much.
What I love about having Homeless Pimp produce it is he was like, I got the setup at home. And we could just come and hang out. And he was
thank
like,
you, yeah.
No dog.
Thank
and
you.
I was like, thank God. Because then I felt like the dog guy where I'm like, well, I don't really know if I have any studio space. And I love my dog so much. The hair's everywhere. We
yeah.
allow her everywhere. It's not like she's not allowed on the couch. You're like, that's her couch.
Yeah.
She sleeps on that couch.
And I love dogs too. Because like I can
yeah.
chill with 50, like, you know, hypoallergenic.
Yeah, the
long-haired dog. Okay, but it's like the short-haired dogs.
Dude.
And I'm so allergic. And you know what's funny? It's like I've had that Larry David moment where like, I've been in an elevator and like in my building and like a dog goes to jump on me and I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm alert.
Yeah.
And like you have to explain. And then like the next day they see me like hugging a dog in the lobby,
like,
because
you just
I
don't like my dog.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, it's a poodle mix.
Hyperallergenic.
Yeah, like it's a golden doodle. Like,
you,
yeah.
you fucking
like,
just
fuck
hated
you, piece.
My dog.
I hate Soprano. You're not
yeah.
even Italian.
You know,
you piece of shit. Yeah.
You Irish piece of shit.
Yeah.
I looked you up.
All you mix are the same.
I hope you get bad draws on cards.
Yeah.
Don't fucking ruin poker for me.
Yeah.
Check out the podcast. Not Today, Pal. You and Jamie on the YMH. I got to get back down there.
Thank you. Yeah,
I think,
man. Come hang.
I think once Shane's back down there from Philly, I'll
yeah.
come down there. Because he's my rich friend with a nice house. So
yeah,
I don't
yeah,
have
yeah.
to stay in there. And I could pop in and do spots. But at the end of every podcast, we go through a pack of cards.
Sick.